This is Bach to Bach, the podcast opening up the world of classical music one beer at a time. And I'm all alone today, because that just sometimes happens. So basically, Maddie is down and out this week. He is not able to do the podcast. So it's up to me to kind of carry on the legacy of Bach to Bach this week, because we can't let you guys down on a Tuesday. We have to let him make it happen. So we are going to do a throwback episode back to episode 48. Now, this is a few years back now, and where we're featuring Tanduin's piece, Symphony 1997. And you'll hear the descriptions about this piece, but it meant a lot to both Maddie and I. Growing up, we played our youth orchestra. It was just a stellar piece and so much character and so much imagination that went into this. And so we want you guys to relive this one. If you haven't heard this, listen to the episode and then go play it on its own afterwards and just really enjoy this piece. And next week, we'll be back with you guys for some new episodes and new music. And I think we're going to dive in the coronavirus, because why not? Otherwise, in the meantime, here is the episode 48 featuring Tanduin's Symphony 1997. Cheers, everybody.
That's got to be a baby dragon sound. I mean, that can't be full grown.
Oh, with the sound? Yeah, I mean, like, it's... We're not talking about full-grown dragons yet.
Like season one Game of Thrones dragon.
Well, how long does it take a dragon to get full-grown? That's the question.
7 seasons, apparently.
I mean, I guess that's a measurement of time now.
Well, Amelia Clark, if you're a listener and you want to phone in on this one, please let us know. We are here with a Bach to Bach mini episode.
Hey.
Here to give you some fun and exciting news stories in the world of both beer and classical music, as that is what we both dabble
a little bit
in a bit.
A little bit.
So,
and like in every episode, like these mini ones are really focused on up and coming news stories from both worlds, things that are exciting both locally and across the entire world.
And being Portland, there's always, you know, there's always new stuff.
There's always new stuff, especially in the beer world.
One of the ones that's actually in progress right now, as we record this, is the Main Beer Box.
Hey, Matt, what is the Main Beer Box?
Well, funny you asked that, Kevin. Let me tell you. There is a shipping company in Portland, as you know, Kevin, as I think our listeners probably know, named Eimskip. It's an Icelandic shipping company. And ever since they've come to town, they've really done a great job at pouring themselves back into supporting the community.
Oh, yeah.
Across the spectrum for causes. And they're specifically into the beer industry, especially after this last year's report that $228 million, I believe, was poured into the beer industry in 2016 alone. So what they've done is created and outfitted a 40-foot shipping container. And if you've driven down Commercial Street, you've seen Eimskip there in the international...
Before you really get into the heart of the old port, it's on your way in.
Exactly, just as the bridge comes over from South Portland. They've outfitted one of those containers with taps along each side. And what's going on is about 50 of almost 90 craft brewers in Maine have contributed to this project. What's going to be going on, what's actually going on now, is that it is being shipped across to Reykjavik, and it's going to be taking part in a beer festival out there.
Yeah.
And then it will return, so that festival is going to be going on June 24th out in Iceland. So if you're flying through it,
and there's a lot of main brewers going out for this as well.
Like, yeah,
there's a ton going out.
That's going to be a heck of a trip.
Yeah, it is.
And then the container's coming back by July 29th. So the Maine Brewers Guild Summer Season Beer Festival at Thompson's Point, one of our favorite venues, will be going off, and the container will be back for that to celebrate. And then they've got bigger plans. They've got it flying out and being shipped to other European countries. They haven't specified where yet. I think they're going to release as it comes out. Just an example again of how well-known and well-heeled the Maine beer scene is, and and where the appeal is. You know,
what I've loved what Eimskip's done is the partnership with Iceland. So they were going back 2 months now, the Sunana Festival that was hosted here.
Yeah.
That was a partnership with Icelandic Airwaves. And so because of Eimskip, they've developed this great camaraderie between Portland itself, not just really just Portland and Iceland, specifically Reykjavik.
Yeah.
But they've kind of brought these two places that probably would not normally have been working together and made it almost like a seriously like a family. It's really developed this relationship that's in music, beer, just commerce, everything, and just really have developed that partnership that's crucial.
Yeah, and a lot of the economic theory that is operating over there is coming over here as well. You know, you and I have talked about some of the projects like the New England Ocean Cluster. Mm-hmm. The idea that a lot of these smaller kind of Class B ports, as opposed to a port like Boston, you know, these smaller ports working together as a quote unquote cluster to help work to everyone's strengths and drive economic productivity.
Exactly,
it's something that is proven and that works and works very well in Iceland, and firms like Soli DG, Patrick Arnold, they're working with Eimskip. And just bringing this great theory of living over here, and at the same time trying to share what we have back home as well. I'm excited to see this come back. We're going to be at Thompson's Point on the July 29th.
Heck yes, we are.
Heck yes, we are.
Heck yes, we are. Very Napoleon Dynamite of me. Heck yes.
What happened to him?
I don't know. Probably got a real job.
We are drinking. A beer as we tell you about this. It's if you listen to our last episode with Jim Bonney,
who's
from Upper Peninsula in Michigan, mm-hmm. Charlevoix, a wonderful little town. He talked about a lot of the exciting breweries going out in the Midwest, and this one is New Holland Brewery. Now, we haven't had anything from them before, have we?
No.
To be honest, we wouldn't have probably picked this right off the shelf on a day like today because it is sunny and gorgeous, but we're drinking a bourbon barrel aged stout, and I'll tell you
it's
what,
it's awesome.
I'm digging it.
It's really good.
It's not, we like a lot of the stouts, you know, we've been having lately.
You know, sometimes you judge a book by the cover, or like you base like your purchase of a wine or beer based on the labels if you don't know what it is.
Oh yeah.
Like, so the labels, it's fine, but the beer's awesome. That's the thing. Like, it looks like an outline of, you know, what they stole from Game of Thrones. But
well, and as you've said time and time again, you're not really a stout.
No, fan. I am now. That's the thing. I think that's gone. Oh yeah, I definitely lean towards the barrel aged.
I mean, you're a fan of bourbon, so that makes sense.
I mean, there's 100% chance that's correct.
But if you remember back that amazing intro that where Kevin dropped that dragon screech, the reason we're drinking this particular beer is because it's called Dragon's Milk.
Yeah, and so it's the theme of the day, which whoever thought that on Bock to Bock there would be a theme of dragons. But here's the thing about this, why it's badass. 11% ABV.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't check that before we started this.
Well, the next two episodes are going to be really heavy, heavy beers. But it's New Holland's, man. This is awesome, awesome beers. If you find it in any distributor around you, please pick it up. It's do you know if it's a seasonal or is it year round?
They've been brewing it since 2001, so they have Glacier and Nugget hops in this one.
Yeah,
they're working. Obviously, it's aged in a bourbon barrel, which is just fantastic. They're working with Turo, Munich caramel, crystal grains, black. Chocolate malt and flaked barley. The yeast is American ale. They listed as pairing with red meat, smoked foods, balsamics, which is ironic because I just had a balsamic chicken and it is going really well. And they're saying rich cheese and dark chocolate, basically any comfort food.
Yeah,
this is your beer. And I got to agree with them. I'm not very good on the whole food pairing thing, but
it's spot on.
Yeah, this absolutely works.
It's got like a little kick to it, a little spice, but you can actually, there's like a hint of vanilla in it, a little sweet.
And it's not like the other stouts we've been having recently where it's everyone's trying to load up on the chocolates or the caramels or the coffees or the
pretty stellar stout, I'm not gonna lie.
Dragon's Milk, it's by New Holland Brewing. We got them in four packs, bottles in four packs, but I haven't seen anything canned. But if you do see this, again, it's a Michigan brewery. if you do get one of those cold spring evenings, this is worth it. I'd say go out of your way to pick this stout up and give it a go.
Absolutely. And you can find more about them at newhollandbrew.com and also on social media at New Holland Brew as well. It's a pretty seller.
Fun side note, they do a beer barrel bourbon.
Oh, so they flip it. That's that one we did with the Allagash, when we had the Allagash.
You thought it was...
We thought it was beer in a bourbon barrel. It was actually bourbon in a beer barrel.
Yeah, when you took your first swill of that.
A lot of bees.
And a lot of alcohol. Missed anticipation, yeah. But these guys, they have a lot of side projects. There's actually also a Dragon's Milk Select.
Sounds like a cigarette.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You know, can I get the pack of the Dragon Milk Select? No,
a clove cigarette.
Remember? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
So I still smell them here and there, kind of being...
Once in a while.
Being smoked by people that wear berets and whatnot. We have a surprising amount of those in Portland, Maine.
Hey, welcome. Second most berets per capita.
Let's take Dragon's Milk and go on to
music.
The music side of
it. So we're going to go back 20 years. That's it. We're going to go back 20 years. Not too bad. 1997.
I was a freshman in high school.
Wow. Hey, yeah. Look at you now.
Not much has changed.
We're going to listen to the work of Tandun. If you know him best from composing the soundtrack to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote this piece called Symphony 1997. It's colon, Heaven, Earth, Mankind. That's the title of it. So Symphony 1997, Heaven, Earth, Mankind. And basically each of those subcategories are a section of the full symphony. But with each section, there are multiple movements, like 11 movements per section. It's a piece for ancient Chinese chime bells, symphony orchestra, solo cello, and a children's chorus. Nice. It's a humongous work. Overall, but I had the opportunity in 2000 and gosh, I want to say three. I played this with Empire State Youth Orchestra.
Oh, I was at Troy Sandbeck
Musical. Yeah. And then we did it again at Carnegie. It's the same piece at Carnegie. Nice. Yeah, little name drop right there.
Okay.
So we performed the first movement of this at those venues, and basically it's. The third and fourth movements are called Dragon Dance and Phoenix. So what more appropriate title than to pair with the Dragon's Milk? So basically you're going to hear these beautiful solo cello lines, but the whole movement kicks off with this tuba and trombone entrance, these drones.
Yeah.
And it's huge. You're going to hear these ancient chime bells throughout. You're going to hear... taiko drums, you're going to hear. It's super percussive, very cinematic, really messes with the meter. It's not as straightforward as you like. But the second move, the fourth movement is the Phoenix. And that one, much more lush and full. It's much more, I think, regal would be the term I've used that before. Ooh, on this
yeah,
episode.
Good to drop.
And then it picks up a lot of energy at the end. But it's 6.5 minutes of just, like, it's an adventure. Like, he's meant to write soundtracks, and it's what it sounds like.
I'm just excited for the tuba, the Dom DeLuise of the orchestra.
Listen, it's actually, there's some pretty sweet tuba pieces we'll get we've into. We've done some in the past, but we'll do more. Tuba, I don't even know.
That was actually the name of the episode.
That was the episode. Let's listen to the third and fourth movements of Symphony 1997, Heaven, Earth, and Mankind by Tan Dun.
times at all.
Yeah. You know, it's cool because actually in that part of the piece where you hear the yelling, hey, how like the orchestra does that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the first time I was able to yell out loud in orchestra and not get yelled at for talking too much.
You tried though, didn't you?
I kicked out of orchestra for talking too much all the time. But hey, look how I turned out. Womp womp. Okay, amazing. Anyway.
While that was playing, actually, a fun fact came up, which is about Iceland's craft brew scene, which is now coming up. There's 9 breweries and about 13 brands of beer. But they've only been free of prohibition on beer since 1989.
Really?
Right? So they're still really young in the beer scene. This is, for them, this has got to be exciting.
Here's the thing, though, with Iceland, like, it's, yeah, maybe like beers back in distribution, but it's so, it costs so much money.
Yeah, well,
it's so expensive.
Yeah, that's the
any alcohol is in Iceland's crazy expensive, but hey, it's worth it.
It is. All right, so coming up next, we've got actually a really neat story, which is applicable for me at least. I'm about to head to the airport tomorrow morning.
Going southbound.
Going south to where it's warm. And there, as Kev, as you know, and as some of our listeners know, I occasionally have problems with airport security.
really? Do tell, Matt. Do tell.
No, that's a story for another time.
They love you.
But when, you know, single male traveling alone, that doesn't raise any red flags. And for that year, I was on Lynx and handling black powder for every day, 25 pounds of it a day. Like I was setting, you know, those little puffer sensor things. I was setting those off just left and right for a year. It was ingrained in my clothes. It was everywhere I went. So
you're called, what we call a winner.
Try explaining to somebody that you work on a boat with cannons. I mean, that doesn't really fly with TSA. But we've all been there. We're all waiting for a flight and the line's really long. Some person has, you know, 20 billion laces that they've got to undo. So everything's backed up. Wouldn't it be nice if we just had a little bit of music? There was an article in the New York Times that I just spotted the other day that talked about the idea, the premise of live music in airports, which is a great idea. It's places that once we get through all the hustle and bustle, we're kind of sat prisoner, for lack of a better word. Some of us have been actual prisoners. That was... I don't think they would have performed live music where I was. You've got this captive audience. A lot of times people who could really do with a bit of classical music or jazz. So this particular article started talking about the Austin airport, at the home of South by Southwest, and how they had regular performances, but then during the time of the music festival, they ramped it up to 120 performances a week.
Really?
Houston's doing this. San Diego Airport recently instituted a residency there, not only music, but also dance. That's which awesome. Is such a good idea. And what's funny is they're saying that this isn't necessarily a new concept either. So Portland, the other Portland, Portland, Oregon, PDX Internet did a musical performances by volunteer musicians back after the September 11th attacks. And now they do 65 musicians a week in there.
Whoa.
Yeah, so there's a lot of performances here. And they're not all free. Musicians are actually being paid a fee to do these. For example, in...
They're not paying a fee. They're being paid.
They're being paid. Yeah, yeah. So, for example, this... the Austin department is underwritten by Pepsi, and the musicians are paid $120 for 2 50-minute sets on 4 small stages, or $100 per musician, up to 5 on a main stage on the secure side of the airport. And obviously that has its own intricacies in and of itself. You've got the folks waiting to get into the secure area and those already passed. And I think almost certainly both are in need of a bit of...
relaxation.
Yeah. Or just
music.
It
can escape.
It doesn't have to be relaxing stuff. It could be kind of heartening music. But
no, it should be somewhat tense because it's... I mean, like, if you're playing, you know, 20th century atonal music...
Yeah, it's, playing Shostakovich.
Yeah, it's going to make everybody pissed off.
But the other thing is, not only from the aesthetic standpoint of this all, they've also talked about the economic standpoint. When you have music playing, it encourages passengers to linger near shopping, near the food areas. So this isn't just a feel-good thing. It's actually an economic benefit to each of these airports that are looking to generate profits in an area where airlines are always struggling with not only paying the bills, but yeah, hauling passengers off planes and doing terrible things.
But also, as of today, there was a story of in Florida, Spirit Airlines canceled 9 flights.
Oh, no.
And the passengers legit rioted in the terminal, punching the security guards, tackling, and like it was.
What airport was this?
This isn't, I don't know where in Florida, but it's
okay,
in Florida.
As long as it's Florida. I'm flying through Atlanta.
Yeah, you're so good. You're good. It was Florida, yeah.
Man, anyway. Well, I'm flying Delta tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. They haven't been. I can wear leggings, but apparently I can't buy a seat for my 2-year-old. Keep up on current events, folks. It's a fast-moving world out there.
And on that positive note.
Basically, just to refer you back to that, again, that's an article by a woman named Amy Zipkin. It was called Security Line Blues? Question mark. Maybe some cool jazz will help. It's worth a read. We'll put the link up on the website, cool. too. But again, just the beer box by Aimskip, such a cool idea. And music in familiar places. We've talked about that idea before.
A lot of amazing things happening in a world of chaos. So just for your heads up, we are coming up on episode 50. Woo. Episode 49 will be another mini episode of exciting news stories and new beer where we're focusing on South American pieces of music.
Olay.
But episode 50 is the big one for us. And then episode 100 eventually after that, you know, a little while after. But we'll get there.
Chris Thiele, if you're listening, we'd love to have you
please,
on.
Please call us. Please call us. We want to interview you.
Until then.
You're really good. I like what you do.
Until then, this has been another episode of Bock to Bock.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Be sure to follow Bock to Bock on Spotify to get notified of the latest episodes.
And keep the conversation going on Instagram with us and follow us on all social media platforms at Bock to Bock. That's B-A-C-H-T-O-B-O-C-K. Cheers and keep listening.